Welcome to the Cold World Podcast. Hope you all are having an amazing day. It has been a minute, but I've missed y'all. I have been working, and I cannot wait to tell you what I've been working on. Trying to brighten up the screen. Let me know if it's not bright enough. But yeah, man. So first off, let's get the elephant out the room. Definitely saw the highlights to the Super Bowl. I was not watching it. I was busy doing some stuff that I will tell y'all about. But it don't matter how you feel. If you hate the Patriots or whatever the case is, that Tom Brady cat is really good at what he does. And homie's a beast. I can't. It looked like it was some horrible coaching, some bad play calling, but it is what it is. So I got to give respect where respect is due. I know that's hard for a lot of people to hear, but, you know. So earlier, you know, my whole thing is with the energy converters thing. It's something I've been spending a lot of time on, but definitely was in a space where I had to do my own brand of energy converting today, man. You know, I think being honest with folks, and like, I think I give off this persona at times. I don't really get frustrated. I think if you know me, you know I get mad at a lot of stuff. But I think that a lot of people have this persona that I just never get angry or upset. That just ain't true. not even a little bit. But today, man, the last few days, like, my temper has been rising up. And so, you know, I take my own advice, though. Like, how do I take that energy? How do I take, you know, that feeling of wanting to possibly swing on some folks, or you know, just needing to get that energy out, or needing to scream on folks? How do I take that and turn that into something positive? And what I've tried to do is I've been focusing a lot more on getting these videos out and getting these complimentary things to my book done. So I have this series of, it's called Stop Hustling Backwards, and it's something I wrote a long time ago and just waiting for the right moment to actually put out there. But basically, it is for, you know, students, and it's advice that I didn't have as a student, just navigating high school or being the first one in my family to go to college, and it's something that means a lot to me. And so just trying to have little snippets of videos that actually is able to help folks, and you know, that's something that I actually care about. So I've been putting a lot of my energy into that. You can actually see there's a camera that I've put a lot of energy in and time into. So learning how to use that and use that better, I think that part is really important. And I think that, you know, I've been practicing just my editing. Like, how do I edit this stuff? How do I make it look presentable? And how do I get it out there to people? So, you know, I just been working on that. I want to thank folks, man. The mini doc is really moving, and a lot of folks have seen it. I think it's up to like 36,000 people right now, and that's dope. And I want to really appreciate folks for that. I mean, that's being able to tell that story meant a lot. And then there's another video that's out that's around, you know, hacking school. And what I meant by hacking school, and a lot of people took that a certain type of way, I wasn't saying that you didn't have to read in school or do any of those things. What I was saying was, had I had Google and iPhones and all that stuff like accessible to me, like at my reach, I definitely would have been able to look up. I would have been attacking school in a different way. So, you know, and I think this extends to parents as well. So, for instance, when I had to read like Their Eyes Are Watching God, which is a great book, like, but to get deeper in the analysis, like, there are some great videos online that actually have people going deep into that in ways that I didn't even get from my teacher. And just for the record, Miss Antoniadis, I don't know if you're still around. I hope you are still around, because you shouldn't talk ill about the dead. But Miss Antoniadis was my AP English teacher when I was at Emory High School. Miss Antoniadis, I don't know if she used to be a great teacher. I don't know if she was just at the end of her rope because she was like 25 years later or something like that. But I learned nothing in that classroom, man. Like, she would just give us these packets, and I didn't end up reading most of those books. And when I did have to read for like a test, like I said in the video, I would go to Borders Books, which is now defunct. I miss Borders Books. It was my favorite bookstore. I would go there to the one that used to have be in Emeryville, which is now Urban Outfitters. And I would go in the corner, get the little cliff notes, and I would kind of just go through it. And that's how I would get my analysis. I'd have my notebook, and I'd just be getting as much information out of there as I can. I couldn't afford to buy the book, but to buy the little cliff notes, but that helped me out a lot. But, I mean, talking to some of my homies as parents, like, if you got kids, your kids like to spend time on YouTube and watching stuff, listen, you can make a 25-minute playlist for your kids that got stuff on there about Malcolm X, that got speeches from Martin Luther King Jr., that they get to know who Medgar Evers is. Like, there's all these little videos. Make them watch a playlist and talk to you about it. Like, there are so many ways to get information now. Like, you don't have to have Encyclopedia Britannica. You don't have to, you know what I'm saying, be rich. You don't have to have somebody take you to the library. Like, it's right in people's hands. And so that's what my whole thing around hacking school is. Like, we can start looking at this stuff in different ways, because I learned in different ways. I learn in different ways now. And so even with this editing stuff, all I did, I went to what's called, I like to call it YouTube-iversity. You can look at YouTube to look at cat videos, or you can actually use it to learn something. And over the weekend, I kind of locked myself in my apartment and just taught myself how to edit, just taught and tried and practiced and practiced and practiced. And I'm still going to keep practicing. And so, but I'm going to get it right. I'm going to get it down, and y'all going to be seeing these videos, and y'all going to be like that, like young Spike Lee over there. You know, it's expensive to pay for people to help you. And, you know, so I just figured I just teach myself and keep my money and I'll figure it out. And I think that I'll do a decent job. I might even chop this up and cut this up and actually put this out just to see, you know, just to get some more practice with that editing stuff, man. But, you know, that's how I've tried to convert my energy. I am excited. Let me tell you about these speaking gigs that I have coming up. I have one coming up in Sacramento, where the theme of this month is failure in Black education, and so I'm really excited to go talk about that. So I have a speech that I will be giving there. I need to tighten up a bit. I actually don't write my speeches. I actually just figure out the themes and figure out the points I want to hit, and then I just go for it. I haven't written a speech since I was real talk like 12 years old. The last speech I wrote, actually younger than that, I was running for school treasurer in elementary school, and my dad wrote my speech. My pops wrote my speech, yo. It was a good speech. But yeah, I that's the last time I read a written speech. Since then, I've basically just gotten my themes down, figured out my cadence and what I wanted to be able to talk about, and went from there. It has, you know, I think I can give really passionate speeches that way, but I you'll definitely hear me say and a whole bunch of fillers a lot, which is evident from this podcast. But that's just the way I like to do it. See, there it goes. But I'm working on it. And I had to, you know, I worked on my whole speaking thing. I had to teach myself how to, when I moved to California from Kentucky, my accent was so thick, I had to relearn how to speak. My mouth wouldn't enunciate certain words, and so, you know, that's something I've always been conscious of. And some folks can hear my accent. I don't think everybody can. You can when I get excited or upset, but, you know, so I'm really excited about that. And then I'll be in Fresno. I'm really, really looking forward to. I'm gonna actually be giving multiple speeches in Fresno at Fresno Unified, and I think I'm gonna have all boys, and I think all boys of color. And so getting the theme down for that, that's going to be dope. I am really excited, and I want to thank the folks in Fresno for having me out. Some really good people. And so anytime I get to talk to like young, like Black kids, I get really excited about it. I don't think I get nervous, but I do get really excited, because I think that stuff matters. And, you know, I think that you have to lean on the things that you're good at. I think that for so long, people were trying to, you know, especially like in education, they try to make you focus on what you're bad at And it's not that you shouldn't manage those things. Like, I have a lot of things that I have to manage. I have to manage my emotional intelligence. I have to manage how I might come off and how I might say things. But I am who I am, you know. But when I started to spend more time on the things that I was actually good at, which was like storytelling, which was speaking, which was writing and actually cutting to the heart of things, my mind just worked differently. And when I actually spent more time on who I was and what I was good at, I saw so much more success, even whether that was school, work, any of those things. And even as I do this grind around building out energy converters to get it to where I want it to be, that's how I look at that, man. I think that we need to find out what we're good at. And for parents and mentors and folks that are actually working with young people, I think that that's really important. I think you have to really hone in on what young people are good at. And you got to tell kids, like, yo, I think you are really good at this. I think that you can be really dope at this thing if you practice, and I believe in you, and I'm gonna push you. I think that those things stick with people in a very different way. I still remember, you know, I talk about them a lot, but I still remember the people, the adults in my life that actually did that with me. And I remember the ones that did the opposite with me. I remember the ones that told me I was going to end up in jail like my parents. I had an adult tell me that I was going to end up on a crack pipe like my parents. I was like 10 years old, yo. Like, you don't forget those things. And so if you're going to be burned into somebody's mind for the rest of their life, it might as well be doing something that actually adds value. I really care about how we, you know, how we bring along the people in our community. I think it gets hard and it gets frustrating at times when you feel like you're working and you feel like you have the best intentions, but it just ain't hitting the way that it needs to hit. There are some days where it's like, yo, I'm making huge progress. I am like really like helping folks kind of be self-sufficient and do what they need to do on their own. And there are some other times where it's just like, nah, bro, you didn't really hit that right. Like, that's like that. Like, they didn't really go with you on that. They wasn't understanding. And so, you know, that part is it's frustrating because you want to make sure that you're using your time well and that you actually adding value to people's lives. And some days you do and some days you don't. But I think that that's something that we all need to kind of be doing. You know, there's the I'm trying to, like I said, I think on the internet people do this over positive thing, and that's just not. I try to be really real with stuff. Last night, the alt-right dude, I forget his name, Richard Spencer. He tweeted something after the Super Bowl, and basically he was saying, "Happy birthday, Trayvon Martin! Congratulations, Patriots!" And I got really upset, man. Like, emotionally upset. This is the dude that got punched. It's the white supremacist dude that ended up getting punched. And I was really upset. I feel like, and I rarely say that, but I feel like if he was in front of me, I'd swing on him. This dude's going to be the reason why I start my, like, why I build up my business and company to be self-sustaining. So if I was to punch him, I wouldn't lose my livelihood. Like, I don't know if the district would keep me around if I saw the white supremacist dude and I punched him in his mouth for mentioning Trayvon Martin. But where have we gotten, though, as a society, right? Where like, just real public bigots can just live. Like, where they can just, like, and I'm not saying, when I say where they can live, that's just my vernacular. That's the slang. People say, let me live, whatever. I'm not saying kill that dude. Now, don't twist my words. But where is it that, how is it that somebody can say something like, can taunt a dead boy, a dead child, and be okay just walking down the street without having to worry about any consequences? Like, where, how did we get that soft, man? Like, when did that happen? while at the same time, Donald Trump is just all but starting to have state-run media. Anytime a media outlet disagrees with him, he calls them fake and says that they're not, you know, that it's just wild, man. Like, this is when, if you study, I was a poli sci major, and we would study like when governments got overthrown and coups and all that stuff. But one of the first things that went was journalism. Journalism was one of the first things to go. You couldn't criticize the leader. And we saw that, you know, under the Pinochet regime. We saw that in a bunch of different places that ended up getting taken over. And then also what we saw contemporary, I was one of the folks, because I didn't have any money, me and my friends would go to Tijuana for spring break because it's a cheap trip. You can drive down there. You can go chill for like less than $200, stay in San Diego, and then go in and out between Tijuana and Rosarito Beach. And then the cartels start taking over and start cutting off heads. And so we stopped taking that trip. But I remember there being these bloggers, and the cartels were like, give them these warnings. And they thought it was, they kept blogging and they kept, you know, reporting the news. And I remember seeing an image with like them hung upside down from a bridge, with one of them being decapitated, and people stop blogging about it. Like, those are the first things to go, is the media in these type of, you know, situations, man. And I think when you got a cat like Trump, who is just really testing the waters and pushing, you know, I think that you got to be real careful, and you got to be real vigilant and figure out how are we as a people going, like, you know, be in position to fight this stuff in a meaningful way. I think that stuff is really important. And so that just brings me back to, how are we preparing our babies to be able to be successful in this world? And I want to prepare kids, my friends, my neighbors, myself, for the world that actually exists. Not this bubblegum world, not this everybody gets a trophy world, none of that stuff. Like, the world that actually exists. And I think that that piece is, that's a real piece, man. I think that that's something that we are, like, you know, taking for granted. That's one of my beefs with California, in the sense of, you know, everything is we are really sensitive about everything. And I don't know if we prepare for these fights that's about to be in front of us. It's about to be real fights and real battles. And you got to be ready. If you one of my kids, if you somebody that I work with, if you somebody that I mentor, you're going to be ready. You got to know how to, like, take these blows and keep going. And that's just the state that we in right now. That's where we are. So at any rate, man, I think, you know, when we talk about, and I'm gonna let y'all go in a minute. Like I said, I was gonna try to keep it under 30 minutes. But in closing, I think there's just been a lot of things on my mind. But I'm a truly blessed individual to be able to live the type of life that I live, to be able to have all this stuff, to talk to you all, to be able to have a roof over my head, to be able to live in one of the most beautiful places in the world, one of the most expensive places in the entire world. And that, I don't take that lightly. Like, I believe that part of being an American is I have the right and I have the opportunity to go after the things I want to go after, you know, even with systemic racism, even with the inequities around me, even with, you know, the fact of being homeless, or even, you know, the fact that I come from felon parents or crackhead parents or whatever the case is. Like, I can still turn it around. And right now, a lot of those rights and a lot of those feelings and a lot of those opportunities are under attack, especially for folks not born here. And we got to just stay aware and be vigilant. Helping out folks. I have been trying to, you know, make sure I'm helping out a lot of the folks that I know that's not born here, and families that I work with, and making sure they got the resources and things that they need. But best believe, man, like, just because the people in the crosshairs now don't mean that you won't be the folks in the crosshairs tomorrow. So are you prepared? Are you prepared? Are you ready? Do you have knowledge and information? Do you know what to do when you get harassed? Do you know what to do when this administration tries some BS, man? Or when one of those supporters goes rabid and feels like they can say whatever they want to you? Or when a white supremacist named Richard Spencer can go on Twitter and taunt a dead boy in Trayvon Martin as he is congratulating the team that won the Super Bowl? Like, because that's where we are right now. We in a space where a celebrity, a public figure, feels it's okay to taunt a dead Trayvon Martin. And then he just tweets something else after that just because, like, it's cool. And he gets to walk around comfortable. Meanwhile, it's folks out here that got into this country, that came here seeking a better life, and they scared for their life. They afraid that their way of living is about to end, and they about to be rounded up and sent back to another country. And then we're going to build a wall to keep them out. Like, that's where we are right now. So, you know, those are things that I think about. And when we talk, when I think about converting this energy that I got, it is around building tools that will help people, that will help my people, that the tools that would have helped me when I was younger, when I was in those spaces, the tools that could have saved me thousands of dollars. I took out a ton of loans that I probably didn't need to take out, but I was going to finish. You know, that's how I'm thinking about this. And those are the things that's on my mind. So I'm going to keep trying to convert this energy. And I hope you all have an amazing week, an amazing day. And the time for us taking these things for granted is over. And so we all can do better. With that being said, Joe, take care of yourselves. Take care of each other. I'm out. Peace.